Now, Rob, listen to the way I shut him down. Yes, he did die for the elect, but this is what I'm saying. Would God arbitrarily or unarbitrarily ever say, no matter how this person feels, I will not allow him in my kingdom?
John, that's a ridiculous argument.
Why is it?
Because God doesn't do anything. God does everything with the number one concern of his own glory.
Absolutely.
He's not concerned.
And so therefore, would we ever be legitimate in saying to an individual that, wait a minute, my screeners are telling me something. Would we say, no, he means look up here, James, on the screen. He's asking you to read that blue line right there, because see, he's trying to, you know, do that to you. He's not telling you to look up at that sign. I'm sorry, Rob, we're just having a few studio things. This issue of the full 5 points of Calvin, let me state this. Calvin didn't come up with them in the first place, man.
That was Arminius.
So, you know,
when I heard him called the five doctrines of grace.
Well, you know, they're going to call them a lot of things. I'll just say this. I do not believe in a limited atonement. I believe that the atonement was for all men. And that anyone that believes, that anyone that believes can be saved.
Can I ask you this?
Now, everybody that doesn't believe is not going to be saved. But here's the inevitable problem that we have. We don't know who's going to believe and who is not going to believe.
Amen.
But if you hold strictly to that view and you try to enforce that view, I think that it does a tremendous harm to the witnessing process.
Let me ask you this.
You know, I don't have to witness to anybody because God's going to choose whomever he wants to choose anyhow. So why should I even go to anyone to do that?
Do you believe that the blood of Christ is efficacious? That it does what it set out to do?
Yes. Yes.
Do you believe that the work of Christ was complete?
Yes, absolutely.
That he accomplished what he set out to accomplish?
Absolutely everything that he set out to accomplish. Absolutely everything. Now, here's the inevitable question that you want to ask me. Will everyone accept the work of Christ that he's done for them? The answer is absolutely not.
Exactly.
Wait a minute, hold it. Absolutely not.
And you know why?
Volitional choice. Volitional choice. Well. And well is for water that's deep. Now, I'm saying this. Since it is a volitional choice, if a man chooses to reject,
but also the Word of God also says,
"Oh man, we got all the theology."
The Word of God, also says that we're not saved by the will of man nor the will of flesh, but by the will of God.
But by the will
of God. There
are
two trends of thought.
Go ahead, brother.
There are some texts that preach free will, and when you get to a free will text, preach it with all your heart. Then there are other texts that preach election and predestination. When you get there,
preach it, preacher.
Don't try to make these two trends of thought come together. We are not God. Just preach the text.
Rob, can we go into another call? Did we answer your question?
There's one more other point that I wanted to bring out.
Very quick, Rob.
Okay, real quick.
This is great fun.
the part about limited atonement, because I've studied this for like 15 years or whatever.
Oh, my gosh,
but
man.
Anyway, and the way I look at it is, you look at it into eternity future, you can see that the atonement was limited because you're looking at it from God's point of view, and you see that it was limited to the elect, and God took care of those ones that he wanted to be saved.
Okay, well, if you want to look at it like that, fine. If you want to look at it like that, fine.
Let me be honest with you, buddy.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't understand it.
I don't even understand
man, you're
God's selective process. Listen,
God,
I'm not
trying to figure out God. Well, God's not the problem. I'm the problem.
Listen,
I'm a sinner, and I can only understand so much.
And I'm going to prove it to you, James,
I'm
that
not
you're
God.
Right. Because it
I'm
says
that
it
more and more.
In Ephesians 1 and 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I cannot comprehend that at all. It is not my job or duty to comprehend that. I'm just glad that I heard his voice
when
he called on me.
Check it out.
Oh,
the more I study the Bible, the more I learn two things. There is a God, and he ain't Jimmy Washington.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Rob. God bless you, brother.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Man, they're telling me to take another call, but I don't want to do it. Listen, I'll take line four after we take in a couple of minutes. Just a second. Just let me end this up, James, because after this, man, we've gone a whole... Oh, you think this is a lot of fun?
This is fun, man.
You would be sleeping Dayton right now.
I sure would be.
If you weren't here. Man, I'm telling you. And listen, friends, pray for Pastor James, because as soon as he gets out of this studio, we're going to put him in the airport and put him on a plane, and he's going to be jet lagging back to Dayton. This man is going back to 40 degrees below wind chill factor. You know, he's got to love his family. Because, man, and he's going to leave the tropical West Coast. You are listening to the Olivet Discourses here live on KKLA. It's about the 11 o'clock hour. This is Pastor John, and it's time for us to take our break and to identify our station and to identify who we are. And after these moments, we'll be back shortly.
Emerson said, there are only two lasting bequests.
Churches nowadays, and what really gets me is you got these people coming in off the street, you know, and you got these preachers trying to tell them that, give me all the money you got in your pocket and you're born again, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna close out here right quick. But I want to say one thing. We know Peter wrote two books in the Bible and John had the hot pencil.
All right, go ahead.
The hot mouth, right? I mean, Paul did.
Right.
But I see here where Peter said, seeing you have purified your souls, okay, and obeying.
Right.
Obeying is like having obedience to the truth, right?
Yes.
Through the Spirit.
All right.
Unto unfringed love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart, sincerely. Now, Pastor John, I want you to hear these words here, you know.
Go ahead.
It says, being born again. Now, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I mean, you got to read the good Lord's word to get your spirit within you cleaned out and you get rid of your filthy rags.
Right.
No disagreement with that.
We don't have any disagreement. I think, Brother Robert, that the only disagreement between a full five-pointer and a four-and-a-half like me is that, hey, look, man, I'm going to leave that to God. I'm not going to argue all my life on that. I'm just saying that I'm going to put the word out there. And I know that everybody that hears the word is not coming into the kingdom of God because they reject the word.
This great Puritan, Watson, would agree that the atonement was limited to the elect.
Thank you for Mr. Watson's opinion in that. And in eternity, we will all have our opinions, and God is going to be the final arbitrator. Hey, listen,
and
Robert,
Calvin was a great evangelist, too.
Well,
thank you very much.
Robert Hayes is a great evangelist, too.
Hey, Robert, thanks for the call, brother.
Hey, we love you guys. You keep up the good work.
All right, brother.
And we'll be on the other side.
All right, then.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right, we're going to take this next call, a very interesting call. We're going to say hello to Jonathan in Hawthorne. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello, Pastor John.
Hi. You know one of these guys in this booth, huh?
I've heard of him. I'm from Dayton, Ohio, too.
Oh, is that right?
My uncle is Reverend Dunson.
Oh, yes.
Great Mount Nebo.
I preached for his pastor's appreciation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sure did.
I just wanted to holler at you.
Good to hear your voice.
All right.
Greater Mount Nebo.
Yes. Faithful pastor there in the city.
Is that right?
Yes.
Right. All right. Well, listen, Jonathan, thanks for calling in, brother.
Okay.
God bless, man.
Bye-bye.
All right. James, you got some friends all over town, man, all over the country. How about that?
That's good news.
Listen, we're going to continue to read this. Let's listen to this. We're going to, we're going to continue to read.
Let me start this time, man.
Please, go ahead. I like the number one.
Yeah, he's arguing.
Wait, are you on page two?
I'm on
at the top. That's where we are.
Yeah, number one. It says, it is the great end of the word preached to bring us to a settlement in religion. John, he calls pastors. He calls teachers. We preach the word of God. And one of the purposes of our preaching is the word of God is to edify, to bring those that listen to us week after week, to bring those who we teach week after week to the point where they are settled and steadfast in the faith. You see here in Ephesians chapter 4, 11, 12, and 14, and he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. The word is a hammer.
Get that.
Every blow of the hammer is to fasten the nails of the building.
And the church needs that today.
So the preacher's words are to fasten you the more to Christ.
Fasten, I like that.
They weaken themselves to strengthen and settle you.
Thank you.
This is the grand design of preaching.
Thank you.
Not only for the enlightening, but for the establishing of souls.
Right.
Not only to guide them in the right way, but to keep them in it.
Yes.
Now, if you be not settled, you do not answer God's end in giving you the ministry. Isn't that wonderful?
In other words,
we don't say things like that anymore.
Listen, because the preacher doesn't want to be settled. The preacher wants to be satisfied.
Oh, goodness.
You see, the preacher doesn't want to be settled in God's holiness. The preacher wants an audience. The preacher doesn't want to be settled in the things that God has called him to. The preacher wants to be well-suited to be a man of all seasons at all times. Now, let me read the next one. To be settled in religion is both a Christian's excellence and honor. It is his excellence When the milk is settled,
it turns to cream.
It turns to cream. Did you hear that? Oh, no. They don't write like that. Now, he will be zealous for the truth and walk in close communion with God and his honor. And then it says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. It is one of the best sights to see of an old disciple, to see silver hairs adorned with golden virtues. You don't see that nowadays. You read number three.
Such as are not settled in the faith can never suffer for it.
Oh, my God.
Skeptics in religion hardly ever prove martyrs.
Skeptics can never be a martyr. In other words, if you don't believe what God says, you will never die for what he says,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Go on, keep on reading.
They that are not settled hang in suspense.
Suspense. In other words, can it be true or can it be false?
When they think of the joys of heaven, they will espouse the gospel.
Right.
But when they think of persecution, they desert it. Unsettled Christians do not consult what is best, but what is safest.
Hey, man, look, don't hang out with Pastor John. He's too much of a mean machine and you fall in disrepute with the pimping preachers. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Says the apostate,
yes.
Says Tertullian, seems to put God and Satan in balance.
My God.
And having weighed both their services, prefers the devil's services.
Oh, my gosh.
And proclaims him to be the best master, and in this sense may be said to put Christ to open shame. Hebrews 5:6, he will never suffer for the truth, but as a soldier that leaves his colors and runs over to the enemy's side, he will fight on the devil's side for pay.
My God. Man, that's exactly what
to
happened
to be a
church.
Man who is unsettled in the faith, to be a woman who is unsettled in the faith, to be a boy or girl who is unsettled in the faith is to be an enemy of God.
That's right.
And to be a soldier for the devil.
That's right. And we have them in the churches today claiming that they're soldiers for the king.
That may be tight, but it's right.
I know you're right about it. Let me continue to read. Not to be settled in the faith is provoking to God.
It angers God.
Hey, listen.
He gets mad.
You're
big
ticking
time.
Him. You're ticking him. You're ticking him. To espouse the truth and then to fall away from it brings an evil report upon the gospel, which will not go unpunished. And then it says, they turned back and dealt unfaithfully. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. The apostate drops as a windfall into the devil's mouth.
Listen to this.
I'm listening.
Watson says that if you do not become settled in the faith, you will never grow.
You will never grow. That means you stay a stump Christian.
That's right.
Go ahead.
The word, we are commanded to grow up into the head, even Christ, Ephesians 4:15. But if we are unsettled, there is no growing.
Right.
Look at this. Listen to this illustration. The plant which is continually removing never thrives.
Oh, my God.
You got to be settled so your roots can go down deep.
Man, a plant moving can't thrive. That means you're moving it from one window to the next. Man, you can't get any nurture.
Look at this. He can no more grow in godliness who is unsettled than a bone can grow in the body that is out of joint.
Don't get down. Watson is saying, man, you're like a man with his knees all knocked out of whack and you trying to run for the goal line. Man, you're not going to make it. Man. And then he goes on and says, there is a great need to be settled, Watson says, because there are so many things to unsettle us.
Wow.
Did you hear that, James?
Wow.
He says, you need to be settled because there's enough out there to keep your head spinning.
If he said that then, how much more so is it true today?
Man, listen, we got television videos, man. We got spurious doctrine, heretics, apostates everywhere, man, naming it, claiming it, bellying out the belly, laughing hee-haw to drink. And we can't even get over that. And then he said, seducers are abroad whose work is to draw away people from the principles of religions. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, these things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Then Watson goes on and says, seducers are the devil's factors. They are of all other greatest felons that would rob you of the truth. Seducers have, get this, James, silver tongues that can put off bad wares, but they have a sleight to deceive. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the Greek word there is taken from those that can throw dice and cast them for the best advantage.
They're good gamblers.
Yeah, That's what the deceiver, a real good, hey man, look, you get these people, you promise them some prosperity, you get, man, you show them you got a little bit, man, throw that thing, and man, they all going to try to get the, you know, get it thrown. And then it says, so seducers, Watson says, are imposters. They can throw dice. They can sow this dissemble.
And sophisticate the truth.
And sophisticate, man, I like that. They can sophisticate the truth. And then it says that they can deceive others. Seducers deceive by wisdom of words.
The way is so plain that a fool cannot err.
But you see, the church is full of fools, James. The church is full of fools.
Listen how he says here.
Go ahead.
He says, how do these seducers deceive? Well, he says, page 2 of this tremendous book, they deceive by wisdom of words.
Okay.
Romans 16:8 says, by good works and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. They have fine, eloquent phrases, flattering language, whereby they work on the weaker sort.
Work on the weaker sort. That means that there are those in the church, James, that are unsuspecting of what the seducers are trying to do. And so that if the church is not strong in what they believe, they can be easily carried away. Yeah. Listen, folks, if you'd like to call us, you can enter into the discussions, 1-888-LA-TALKS. And, you know, I find it strange, James, at times when we give out the number, and I know the people are listening, but they will not call in. I don't know whether they're enjoying the discourse, the dialogue, or they're frightened by the discussion. I think that one of the questions of the night was,
we're dealing with doctrines, John.
And so therefore,
And I don't mean to slight any of your audience. It requires, we live in a, doctrine requires you to think.
Okay.
It requires you to be discerning.
So your implication is that the church is?
We may not be interested in it.
Wait a minute.
They may want to be entertained with, you know,
wait
whatever.
If the church is not interested in doctrine, then what are they interested in?
Because they want their ears tickled.
The church, the ones that are saved, that are going to live in eternity with God in heaven, wants their ears tickled. That means that they would be somewhat out of sorts in heaven.
Well,
because there would be no tickling of ears in heaven.
We live in an apostate church.
James, I thought that I was the only one that believed that, man. What
it's an
you,
apostate age.
Wait, James, you're saying that the church is inherently messed up. James, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say good things about the people of God.
We're supposed to speak the truth in
love. Wait a minute. What of the poor young guy in seminary that wants to be a pastor? What kind of encouragement are you giving him?
Don't do it unless you've been called.
James, you're telling him. You're telling him. All right. All
this
right.
is not a job for weak back.
No, it is
non-thinking.
Not. Right. Right.
People.
Right. Right, because brother, we are, you know what, you said something, and I don't know whether you have your outline with you, but people, this man was preaching from Nehemiah tonight, and he made a statement in the opening of his discourse, or his discussion, his sermon, because he likes preaching, but I think it was an excellent discourse. He was saying that
in the discourse, it was preaching, man.
The fools
are preaching, people are saying.
Well, right, all right, it was preaching, but whatever it was, you said this, that the devil, James, that the devil is set out to bring confusion on the people of God when they are in the midst of doing.
That's one of the methods.
A great work, man.
That's one of the methods of satanic opposition against God's people.
Listen.
Get you confused.
You know,
conspire against each other.
Man, conspire. Man, listen. The devil, you also pointed out, that fool is so shrewd that he knows that there will be the unsuspecting in the church that would fall into those kind of. Now, James, I know that. And I like to laugh at Satan because he tickles me. Because, you see, I am not ignorant of his devices.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can straighten this fool out is doctrine. You see, and that's what Thomas Watson knew.
Yeah.
And
of course,
can't
straighten him out. He's an endless cause, but we can't straighten out those who are saved. And have.
But he can't stand up under correct doctrine.
Right. If doctrine is correct.
He can't last.
Right.
He can't last there. Because, you
he's
see.
He's a weaker foe.
Right. Not to be settled, we said, is provoking of God. Now we're moving on down to number 5. Watson says, boom, boom, boom. Number 6. There's a great need to be settled because there are so many things to unsettle us. I read that already. Right. Let me move on down.
I was talking about how seducers deceive. Number one, by the wisdom of wise words, but the second one there.
Yes.
Let's take the second one.
Yes, okay. The second proposition is that the way of Christians to be settled is to be well grounded.
No. Number two. Another slight is a pretense of extraordinary piety. False teachers and seducers.
I've lost my place. Go ahead. Keep on
reading. Page two.
No, we're on different pages because I looked at your book. Your book is different from mine. So go ahead. We're reading the same treatise, but they have different pages.
Okay.
And paragraphs. Go ahead.
He says another slight, another way seducers deceive is by the pretense of extraordinary piety, that so people may admire them and suck in their doctrine.
Extraordinary
they
piety.
Want to appear so holy.
Yes.
So righteous.
Yes. Right.
That's only a tool to suck people in.
Right, right, right.
You know, get them to be liked. And then, after they're sucked in, they shoot that doctrine on
right.
you.
Right. And
I was talking to a young man
go ahead.
This week who said he took the IQ test for the science of mind. That's the way they get you in. Take this IQ test.
What?
Very subtle.
Yes.
Then from this IQ test, they say, sometimes you feel weak, don't you? Well, who doesn't feel weak sometimes?
Of course.
Oh, sometimes we can tell from this IQ test that you are sometimes you're a little discouraged.
Right.
Who doesn't feel discouraged sometimes?
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Human. Of course it is. But we're not a thinking church, James, and so when we have someone else to think for us, it's so much easier to do that. Continue to read because I'm on the way down to number two on the outline, and so
okay.
Go ahead.
Says here that a third cheat of seducers is laboring to vilify, and look at this, nullify sound orthodox teachers.
Well, they have to do that because folk that are sound are going to talk about folk that are unsound. And you know that this guy, Thomas Watson, was severely persecuted.
Right. And so we need to understand this, that people who teach falsely, they attack people. And you don't have to attack people. You need to attack false doctrine.
Right. But they won't do that, especially when they call...
But, you know, Paul mentioned people sometime, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He had to.
Called them by name.
Absolutely.
I guess he didn't have to worry about libel back then, did he?
Well, I don't think that we have to worry about it here, James, because if you're telling the truth on these false crooks, how can they sue you for telling the truth?
Look at this. He says, they defame others that right. they themselves may be admired. Thus, the false teachers cried down Paul... that they may be received. Galatians 4:17.
Yes. All right.
Do you see where you are now?
Now I see where I am.
Go take the fourth one.
Okay. The fourth cheat of seducers is to preach the doctrine of liberty. Oh, there's a lot of that today.
Oh, yeah.
The doctrine of liberty, as though men
Let's
are free.
All come together.
Yes, yes, we're freed from the moral law, the rule as well as the curse, and Christ has done all for them, and they need to do nothing. Since Christ has done all, we need to do nothing but believe and to love and to embrace. And then he goes on and says, thus they make the doctrine of free grace a key to open the door to all licentiousness. In other words, life. License.
Right.
In other words, we're free to do whatever we want to do. Another means is to unsettle Christians by persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. The gospel is a rose that cannot be plucked without
prickles.
In other words, the legacy Christ has bequeathed is the cross. While there is a devil and the wicked man in the world, never accept a charter of exemption from trouble. And then he goes on and says, how many...
Wait a minute, go back. What does that say about the Word of Faith teachers then today?
Well, you see, it. The Word of Faith teachers are not godly teachers. They're Word of Faith teachers. And you see, the Word of Faith teacher must teach the Word of Faith.
Look at what he says here. While there is a devil and a wicked man in the world, never expect a charter of exemption from trouble.
But they would say of Watson, you did not have faith like Job didn't, because Job, like you, Brother Watson, spoke defeat into your life. They would say preachers like James and John are speaking defeat in their people's lives. You should get them to speak victory. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I have for every word of faith, for every all these folk. When you go to the doctor, and he says, man, here's a picture of your chest or your brain or whatever it is. You speak healing into that. No, it doesn't happen that way, James. It doesn't happen that way. As a matter of fact, each of us are going to die. I don't know a man that isn't going to die. And no matter what they believe, they're going to die. Watson goes on and says, there appeared to be, oh, I'm sorry, we have a call. We have a call. I didn't know that
it's a good question,
had a call.
Too.
You think it's a good question? Yeah. Let's see. John, you're calling all the way from Baldwin Park. How you doing?
Hi, Pastor John. I heard you on the radio today, and you were getting to discussion over Calvinism and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just right now, you were talking about word faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My question is on Titus 3:10. Mm-hmm. When should, how bad should a doctrine be of our differences with another pastor before we should tell people to come out and not fellowship with that pastor anymore?
Okay, let me give you an excellent text that goes right along with that. You got your Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, we were talking about it the other day, and it's Romans chapter, I believe that's Romans chapter 16 would answer that. This is how you know. And I think it makes it very, very plain.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. You ready to hear this?
Yeah.
Paul writes to the church and he says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those." Here he is. Factious man. "Keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you've learned." Mm. "And turn away from them." Mm. It tells you what to do. Watch them. Are they teaching things that's causing factions, dissensions, hindrances? Contrary, in other words, in total opposition to biblical teaching that you've learned from biblical men, biblical churches, biblical doctrine? Right. Then he says, turn away from them. And then in verse 18, he says, "For such men are slaves, but what kind? Not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites." Mm. See, of their own appetites. "And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts
Just
of the unsuspecting."
Watson said the same thing.
He says, watch them, mark them, check them out. Question them, and if they don't answer you with scripture, depart from their company. That is what the Bible tells you to do, and you don't wait all your life. You find out, you check them on doctrine, and you make sure. Now, let me give you another scripture, because somebody says, "Oh, Pastor John, you're so cruel and all of that." Well, let's go to, I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "But false prophets were amongst the people, just as there will be false teachers amongst you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master that bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth," which James and I are speaking here, "will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment is not long idle, and their destruction is not asleep." So,
John, if
ahead.
You don't mind it, in Baldwin Park, let me kind of
go ahead.
Share with you my own experience. Here I am, evangelical.
Yes.
Conservative. Mm-hmm. Historical theologian.
Yes.
I teach what essentially the early church taught.
Yes.
Yet I am a part of a denomination.
Yes.
That is very, has liberal tendencies.
Yes.
And I disagree.
Yes.
With some of our doctrine, yet I stay in it. Let me just give you an example.
Go ahead.
One part of Methodism is the baptism of infants.
Right.
When an infant is born, Methodist doctrine is baptized them.
Right.
I teach that infant baptism is not biblical.
Right.
That baptism always follows faith.
Right.
And the faith of this community cannot save this child.
Absolutely.
And the faith of the community of faith and godly parents.
Right.
Cannot save this child. I teach it, knowing in full well that the church says one thing, and if they, I won't change on that.
Right.
If it means that they get kicked out, whatever.
Right.
I teach.
Right.
It's Methodism. This, so there's some, there's some doctrine that you don't have to divide on.
Right.
If they get up and say that we're gonna make in our general conference, we're gonna make a doctrinal statement that we no longer believe in the bodily resurrection, I'll be the first one to resign.
Oh my God! Yes.
They say that we do not believe in the virgin birth. I'll be the first one to divide. But whether we're gonna baptize by pouring, sprinkling, or water, I teach that the most correct way is immersion. To take them under.
Right.
Get a pool. Go to the river.
Yes.
Go to the ocean.
Yes.
Take that brother. Take that sister under the water.
Put them in a jacuzzi.
Jacuzzi, whatever. After
right.
they have been, after they've saved, been saved.
Right.
Now, if a man and a woman, after I teach them, they still want to be sprinkled, I'll sprinkle them.
Yeah.
That's not...
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's not an issue to be. But if they told me, after they walk down the aisle and we take them through classes, they don't want to be baptized.
Right.
They ain't saved.
Do you understand, John?
Do you understand what I'm saying, John? I'm not saying that the water's... But if they don't want to obey the command to be baptized, the very first fruit of being saved is obedience.
Now, when it comes down to the initially, you know, answering your questions, if these people, whomever they are, refuse the teachings of the scriptures, what you do is you mark those guys and you watch them for a while and then you get rid of the book. Because you see, if you stay there, they're going to lead you further into the abyss. Do you understand that?
Yeah, to follow up on that question, you know, the Bible mentions a couple of people that denied the resurrection, that say it's already passed.
Okay.
They're lost.
That they were named by name. Why don't preachers today like to name preachers by name? And
I do.
Know?
Oh, I do, man. I've mentioned many on this radio presentation, and they know it because they're sitting at home listening right now, gnashing
their
teeth.
I don't attack the men. I attack the doctrine.
I'm attacking the doctrine because the man doesn't even matter to me.
So you got to separate the two.
Right. Yeah, James, that's a very good point. The man is, man,
it's what he teaches.
He doesn't even exist in my world. He's just a piece of flesh that's out there just breathing and taking up space.
You see the Benny Hinn's of our world.
Right.
People say, well, these people are really getting healed. That's not the issue. The issue is what this man is teaching.
Right. Right.
And that's what you deal with.
Right. You understand that, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're to mention names and you're to mention them, you know, right to their faces. Just make sure that you don't scandalize anybody's name. Say something false about the person. Yeah. You know, you may not like the doctrine, but you don't have the right to speak poorly about the person.
Right.
You know, I mean,
judge the heart.
Right.
We can't judge what he teaches.
You know, and the person can be very sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong. And so what we do is we take the doctrine and we prove them sincerely wrong in their doctrine. Now, if they refuse to change, I'm going to go with the Romans text, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. Because as far as I'm concerned, I think after I get through talking with them, they do know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call, John.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye now.
Oh,
one
verse for your view is 1 John 2:2 and then 1 Timothy 4:10.
All right, well, let's go to 1 John 2:2, because, see, some of the folk may not know what you're talking about. It says,
about
and
Calvinism.
He himself... Yes, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. I have some notes here from the Greek thing. Okay, good.
All it's saying is that the death of Christ was sufficient to satisfy every sin that had ever been committed. But it does not say it was efficacious for every sin that was committed.
But Pastor James,
it's kind of like this. You have a credit limit for $10,000 on your Visa.
Let me share.
But you only use 200 of it.
Let me argue, James. You're a good arguer, but you never let anybody else get in a word edgewise. And that's why I like you so much. You're so much like my own silly self. Now listen to this, John, because you're going to hear Pastor John answer in defense of this text that you've just given. And he himself...
It's a strong text for your point.
But you won't let me say anything. Isn't this interesting? You're so much like John Coleman. And he himself is a propitiation. All right? I like this in the Greek term, the helasions. Is that the way it is? Yes, because I have it in my column here. For our sins, and not for ours only. Now, the ours that he's talking to is who, James?
He's talking to believers.
Yes, to those of us that are already saved.
Right.
And then he says, but also for those, so the those are real persons, mm-hmm. for those of the whole
world. But John, he is not saying here.
Just a second. Let me.
He's not saying it's efficacious here.
John, I'm going to talk to you since James won't let me talk to him. Since he says to the whole world, he is saying that it is efficacious for the whole world. Why would he say that it's efficacious
for the whole world? Well, then the whole world's going to be saved then.
No, he's not saying that. Because when you read.
So it was efficacious for the elect then.
Listen, this is what he says in the next verse. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So therefore, the whole world is not keeping his commandments, but it is possible for the whole world to keep them. Correct?
No, it's not. It's not important. It's not possible for anybody in the world to keep the commandments of God. Last time I read Romans, that the worldly man, he can't please God at all.
He's freaking on
the world does not have the ability to please God at all.
I love it. I love it. I asked James, John.
A carnal man cannot please God.
Oh, he is a John Coleman.
Let the sinner sin. It's us that won't do right.
He will sleep all the way to Dayton, I'm telling you. Listen, I'm telling you. John, thanks for your call, my
You're
brother.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Thanks,
bye.
Man. Bye-bye. I love it. Let's go to Art in Whittier right now. Art, thanks for calling from Whittier. And you disagree with us about the home fellowship concept. Tell us why, Art.
Well, I mean, just from hearing you from the past, I mean, you've mentioned that true religion is, you know, helping those in your community, your neighborhood, a job, being a witness.
Yeah.
And so when you try to, or when you narrow it down to Sunday, you have to go to church on Sundays. I mean, many believers, I'm sure, go to church on Sunday and they never fellowship through the week.
Yeah, who says you have to go to church on Sunday?
No, I don't want to get on that subject.
Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say
you
that.
You said that it came.
No, I didn't say that.
You listen, did say that, Pastor John.
Well, listen, we aren't going to look. I didn't say that, but I want to give you something. Here is my answer to those of you that believe in all these homegrown teachers. Mm-hmm. James, as a matter of fact, I'm starting to preach on this next Sunday.
There's nothing wrong with home fellowships as long as they stand.
James, let me answer the call.
As long as they stay with the Word of God.
Don't argue.
James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing." Amen. Listen to me, my dear brother.
Mm-hmm.
"Knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment."
Amen.
And it says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Now, James begins this argument about those of us that teach. And the reason that I'm putting a cautiousness on this home stuff is because some folk need a platform in any way they can get it, my brother.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. Now, I'm saying that. Who in your church qualifies that a person is a home teacher? Who do you think, Art, is the person in the church that qualifies?
Well, okay, I believe that.
No, I want to know.
I believe God qualifies them, and I don't believe.
No. Art, that's not sufficient. Who is the person in the body of Christ that can judge the teaching gift?
Pastors and elders.
Pastors and elders in the church. That is why we have been placed in that authority to do so. And remember now, Art, we live in a church age where there are no more authorities. So therefore, God has placed them there. I judge that gift because I have it. Now, if there's a woman teaching a Bible study and I'm saying, "Oh, dear sweet lady, you want to teach?" Yes, I have about 15 teenage girls over here that need your gift exercised to them because you understand them because you're a woman and you understand what they're growing into and they need you. And she says, "Art, no, God has called me to teach these men." And we have pastors and elders in the church to teach those men. Art, would you mind telling the radio audience, what would you tell this woman?
I'd have to see that she had... Been growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ.
I'm sorry. Are you a pastor teacher? Are you an elder? Are you a teacher yourself?
Yes.
You're an elder?
Yes.
You're not
an elder, a pastor teacher.
You're a pastor of a church?
Yes.
You're a pastor of a church, and you understand what the office of a teacher is, based in the Word of God.
I believe in order, and I think that, to answer your question, a woman, hopefully she would have been discipled and before she's allowed to even teach other women or... you know, raised up. And
so she
has to be called, and then she has to be taught. She has to
so let me
be
ask you
an
this.
Authority.
What about what Paul said, "I do not allow a woman to teach men"?
I disagree with you on that, but last time you...
Hey, man, you don't disagree with me. You disagree with the Bible.
Man, you don't disagree with us,
you ain't disagree with me.
Remember, we're just flesh bags.
We're dealing with the Bible.
Come on, Paul says, I want you to deal with the text of Scripture. Well, do you agree
deal
with the
text.
Scripture?
You threatened to hang up on me because you were saying that I was saying God was immutable, but... you know, do you still kiss the brethren? Do you guys worship on the Sabbath? I mean, those are things. I mean, if I wasn't challenging God's immutability, God never changes.
Man, you're a pastor.
His character never changes. God's character never changes. But here we have the Old Testament where people are going to church on the Sabbath,
on.
And now here's the Sunday. I mean, you don't abide.
Let him talk, James. We don't want to cut him off.
Right.
How old are you?
How old are you,
son? It's not important.
Yes, it is important. It's very important, man, because if you're a novice, and that's what you sound like, how old are you?
I'm 37.
All right. 37. You're 37. Where have you been trained in theology?
Right.
No, don't be gasping deep, man. Where did you get your schooling from?
Who discipled you?
Who discipled you?
I've been discipled by many pastors and many teachers.
I want to know some authoritative names and some institutions,
what church are you with,
man?
What authority?
Church are you in?
I've moved all around the
I bet
the
you
States.
Have.
You want me to name every pastor I've been under?
I want to know the main discipler that has discipled you in Christian ethics,
you see,
apologetics,
brother, you
got to
deal with what the Bible says.
That have to go way back to, you know, Hawaii and, you know, and where I was taught.
What churches?
Disciples.
All right.
What church?
What
man,
church?
Where are you from?
It was called Pacific Islands of Oahu or something like that. But
something like
that. What do you believe? Let me ask you this.
That was years ago.
Okay,
but
Art, what do you believe about the Bible? What is your view of Scripture?
It's
infallible.
Infallible.
Inerrant.
Without fault. It's inerrant.
Inerrant.
Okay.
Amen.
If you believe that, when Paul says, "I do not allow a woman to teach in the church."
Okay.
It's not cultural. It's not a scribal error. He gives two reasons why.
Why wasn't it just a blank command? Do not, like in the Old Testament, you know, thou shalt not. It was, when he says...
There were no women priests.
When
it
you study the word suffer, too, there's an allowance there. He hold on, let me make this last point. One of the main things of that chapter is order. You must have order in the church.
I need my Greek text to see what that word suffer is.
Yeah. See, but I think that what Art is also leaving out, and I know that you may not... Are you a dispensationalist?
I don't get into any of that. I just get into the Word of God.
How can you argue theologically if you don't get into that? What do you mean you don't get into that?
You must rightly divide the Word of God.
Amen. I agree with that.
You can't rightly divide the Word of God without knowing that there's an Israel, there's a church, there's a kingdom.
Man, if you don't even want to get into whether you're a dispensationalist, how can you have an opinion about anything? And teach anybody anything.
Do you believe a difference? Do you believe in that the old covenant and the new covenant are different?
Do you?
No,
don't laugh, Art.
This
you're
is
a
serious.
Pastor. You're a pastor.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Let me ask you
this. And what does that mean?
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that there's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant?
There's a difference. Yes.
All right.
One was the law. Now we're under grace.
Well, that's dispensation, right? That's a dispensation, right there.
You just got into it.
Do you believe?
We don't agree on everything. It seems that way.
But hold on. No, wait. We're talking about basic things here.
Yes.
Do you believe that the church and Israel are two different things?
The Church of Israel.
Israel and the church.
Do you believe that those are two different entities?
Two different entities.
This is not heavy stuff, man.
This is basic theology.
What are you sighing for, man? I mean,
you want me to give you your
No, I don't. I just asked you a question,
James. Let me talk to the pastor.
Is there a difference between the law?
James, let me talk to the pastor. Pastor, listen to me.
God has
pastor. I'm gonna put it to you in Ebonics.
No,
you ain't got no business pastoring nobody's church. Goodbye,
John. Don't.
No,
did you dump the guy?
Dumped him.
Oh my goodness!
That is a disgusting.
That was the best call we had all night.
Oh, James, that was disgusting. Come on, man.
You could have helped the brother, man.
I can't help someone.
I can't believe you dumped that guy.
Yes, I dump people.
Man,
I
believe we could have reasoned with him.
Oh no, you cannot reason with someone that.
if we could have gotten him to really say. That he believed in the authority of Scripture.
He was exhausted by the questions, James, because you said earlier, what you did is you took him out of the safety zone. And when you take one of those kind of pastors out of the safety zones to make them think theologically, and thank God we didn't ask what church he pastors, because if his members were listening in tonight.
You dumped him, man.
But yes, I did. This is what we do on the discourses. Oh, and I don't apologize. Because I will not allow that kind of mentality to allow itself to be heard.
I can understand not allowing that kind of mentality if the brother didn't have a heart that wanted to...
He didn't.
Okay.
Well, I don't think he'd... James, we only got about 2 or 3 minutes. Let's finalize this discussion. Why is it... Let me see. Please discuss step down if his family was going crazy. Okay, someone called and said, should a pastor step down if his family was going crazy or if the children are not saved? Someone wants to have a discussion on that. Very interesting question.
Well,
should the pastor step down if his children are not saved? I would answer it and say no. And I would say this.
Titus would say that.
Hey, no. Now, let's say what Titus says, and I don't want to hear what any John MacArthur's got to say or anybody else got to say, all right?
Titus would say that a pastor, the elders, children must believe.
Yes, right. That's what he says, that they must believe.
So they don't believe, according to Titus.
Is that right?
They don't need to be elders.
They don't need to be elders. In other words, if your children are not saved, you ain't got no business being no pastor and preaching in no church.
That's what Titus says.
That's what Titus says. Give me the verse and everything for that.
Titus chapter 1.
All right, give me, read the verse to me. Come on in, the minutes that we have. I'm loving this.
Titus chapter, he qualifies it. He takes what he says in Timothy and takes it a step further in Titus. Let me get there very quickly so I...
You know, we will not get into
Titus
that
chapter,
tonight.
Look what it says here.
Be an interesting
it says here.
Verse 2.
Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man be above reproach. Above reproach is the qualifier there.
No, and go ahead. Come on, get down to the family.
Let me do some exegesis real quickly. That's the qualifier, and everything else
identifies
a qualifier.
And then it says,
the husband of one
children,
wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion.
Now,
he says conduct and confession.
Let's get into this. Having children that believe.
Right.
You're a pastor.
Right.
I'm a pastor. Do you know most pastors? I mean, a lot of pastors' children?
Well, that's, yeah.
Sitting in the church right there, right?
Right.
And you've seen the behavior of the pastor's children?
Right.
All right? Pastor's children, little children. No. Nice little children coming up. Then they get 18, 19 years old. And then that pastor's child gets on there and get on cocaine, you know, taking off their clothes, doing all that. Now, you mean to tell me
John,
because that, well, no, hold
I didn't
it.
Say I liked
hold
it, but the Bible says our children
hey,
must
man,
believe.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this right now. If I'm pastoring and doing the Lord's will, and my child gets out there and go jackass crazy, I mean it, jackass
You can
crazy.
Say that on the radio, I know.
Oh, yes, you can, because a jackass ain't nothing but a mule that's out of his mind. If my child goes jackass crazy, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my child out of my house.
Can you hit the delay button in there?
No,
hit the delay
I got the
button
delay
next time
button
he
right
says
here.
That.
No, that went out. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. All these preachers going around here doing a good work for God, and I got a good example. Charles Stanley was a great example. His wife went nuts, and he said, oh, yes, and he stayed in there and preached the gospel, and First Baptist is still growing. Now, I'm going to tell you that these people that got this rule is not a rule of faith. That is a rule of control. I'm going to preach the word of God. And oh, there's my theme song. Oh, James, thanks for joining us on the Discourses.
Enjoyed
man.
It, brother.
I enjoyed it too. Friends, tune in to be with us next week. Lord willing, we'll be back doing the same thing that we did. God bless you. You have a nice evening.
You've been listening to the Olivet Discourses from the Olivet Baptist Church. Thank you for spending your radio time with us. If you would like to help keep this Bible-based program on the air, send your financial support to the Olivet Baptist Church.
Thank you for tuning in to the Olivet Discourses. This archive was a very nice series. I want to thank James Washington for appearing on the radio program. As of the year 2016, we're still in touch with each other, the best of friends. And as a matter of fact, we'll be spending a few days together shortly. God bless you. Thank you for coming to the website and listening to these archival series.